What's up, everybody? Welcome to this edition of Let Me Just Say This. I am Lewis, your host as usual, and I haven't really made this clear on Let Me Just Say This, but I am a big Game of Thrones fan. I have been invested in this series since it first aired on HBO in 2011. My only problem is that I'm bad with names, so I tend to forget some of the characters, but this is going to be an episode dedicated to the finale, the series finale of Game of Thrones. And I have a special guest, Niecy. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
We are going to reflect on the colossal disappointment that was the series finale of Game of Thrones. We're going to give our reflections on what we thought of the episode itself, as well as the entire final season. And in addition to that, what were some of our favorite moments of the series as a whole, where it ranks as far as our favorite TV shows ever. So we're going to get into all that interesting stuff. But let's jump right into it. What did you think of this really interesting series finale of Game of Thrones? Well, I apologize, listeners. Niecy was once again stuck in the quantum realm, and she didn't even get to answer my question of what she
thought. I don't
know
if it's me. I don't even know if it's me this time.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear. But in any case, what did you think of the... Well, okay, let me backtrack for a second. So it's been a week and a half since Game of Thrones has ended, and the internet is still pissed off. Okay, it's still, the way Game of Thrones ended still leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. We all love Game of Thrones passionately, but it's because of the fact that it ended on such a whimper of a note that it just doesn't feel satisfying. So what do you think? What do you think of the episode? Just the episode.
Okay, so just the episode. Okay. It was rushed. I mean, there was so much out of the episode that I wanted. I needed. This has nothing to do about wants. More explanation. I needed more character, development, so to speak. I needed more interaction. I needed more dialogue. Like, seriously, Cersei stood there the whole episode. Well, no, that episode, she was dead. The episode before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she was dead. She was buried under a pile of rubble.
Buried under a pile of rubble, but completely intact. Like, she should have been smashed. But,
yeah.
It was just, I mean, why is Bran the king? Like, not that I dislike the ending, because I'm going to say, okay, whatever. I find it funny that they pick the non-human being, because we all do know Bran died. He is no longer alive. He is now the Three-Eyed Raven. He's not a human being, except physically.
Yeah, he's not even Bran anymore. I feel like they took the convenient ending.
Yeah, so, so they pick the non-human to lead the humans, which, okay, I guess keeps the supernatural element in the show. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Sansa gets away Stark-free for betraying everybody and, just basically being the new Littlefinger. Arya decides, let me become Christopher Columbus and go, find the West Indies. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know, and right? Then, she's going on the other side of Westeros.
Yeah, and then Jon Snow has been fucked his whole life. He was said he was a bastard, treated poorly by Catelyn Stark, treated like absolute shit by everybody, got sent to the wall after Ned bent the knee, got sent to the wall because he was a bastard, ended up with the Wildlings, had to go through all this shit, died, lost the love of his life, screwed his aunt, and then they're like, nope, you're gonna get banished again, go play with the Wildlings again. What? There's no wall anymore. He's now banished to God knows where. He's going to become the king of the Wildlings. And nobody cares. It's just
Right. That was very well said, because now that I'm replaying John's story arc throughout the entire show, it's true. He's always been getting the short end of the stick in every situation. and he gets bailed out in all these battles, namely Battle of the Bastards. You know, and like you said, he lost the love of his life, the wildling. I forgot her name.
I'm Ygritte. Terrible
with names in the show. Ygritte, yeah. So she dies back a couple of seasons ago. Then he has to kill his new lover / aunt. You know, you're totally right. And all for it to come full. I mean, does it really come full circle though? Because he ends up right back where the series began, which is
it's not even full circle. It's basically you did all of this. You saved humankind.
Yeah.
Albeit you had help, but you were the reason that you were the one that facilitated it all by bringing everybody together. And nope, here you go. This is your price. We don't want to piss off the dickless men and the savages.
Yeah.
So we're going to send you off where you can't be any trouble. God forbid recognize that he's the actual, you know, king. God forbid.
Right. See, my whole thing with the final episode was they already fucked up the season poorly after episode 3. After the Battle of Winterfell, I guess I'm kind of ranting on the season as a whole because it all ties in. But after the Battle of Winterfell, where they defeated the Night King and the White Walkers.
Which was bullshit, by the way.
Right. That was bullshit the way that ended. We could talk about that in a bit. But I feel like the first half of the season was fine. But I felt like it just went downhill after episode 3. Why? Because they rushed every single character's story arc. And it just didn't – nothing had the emotional impact that it was supposed to have from episode 4 onward. So the fact that they rushed – episode 4 and episode 5, by the time the final episode already came, I was already feeling ambivalent towards it because they ruined the storytelling and the narrative development so badly that it was impossible for me to be even further disappointed. So I know Karen was just like really excited for the final episode, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not that excited because I'm pretty sure that it's not going to be anything crazy. I don't think it's going to end the way we want it to end. And I was right when Jon Snow embraces Daenerys and he professes his love for her and saying that she's always going to be his queen, and he just stabs her. That was the most anticlimactic death in the entire show. I mean, this is
that
Daenerys.
Hurt a lot more than it did.
Exactly. And the reason why is because it was void of any type of emotional impact because they just rushed it. I felt like it just came out of the blue. And I felt like it was just such a disservice to all the fans that have invested all of these years. And we're just talking about the fans that watched the TV show. We're not even mentioning the fans that read the books. You know, so I feel like it was just such a disservice to all of the fans, because it was like, what you guys just wanted to end it just because? What the hell was wrong with an 8 to 10 episode format for the final season? Why did you have to rush it to 6? I would have preferred 10 60-minute episodes as opposed to 6 75 to 80 minute episodes. You know,
exactly.
that's the way I felt about the whole season as a whole was just a colossal failure because nothing had the emotional impact that it was supposed to. Now, getting back to the fucking Night King, the Night King was plastered all over the promotional posters for this final season specifically. Now, this show, okay, I get it. It has its fantastical elements, but I felt like the showrunners, Benioff and Weiss, I felt like they wanted to focus more on the politics. And
well, no, that's what the show was always about. Okay, listen, even in the books, it was always about going the Game of Thrones. It was always about the game. It was always about the game of power that people play. The fantastical element just gave it, again, just a fantastical element.
So, in other words, it was like a backdrop to the political theme behind the show.
Yeah, exactly. It was just the fantasy element of it all. It really, I don't think it had anything to do with the main. And I could be wrong because, again, the Night King was a power play. But maybe it was to show that even fantasy has power plays in it, or maybe that even, you know, mythical creatures could want power. Maybe that's it, you know? I don't know what the whole purpose of it was, but...
But this is my problem with, you know, the Night King, the White Walkers, Winter's Coming, and all of that, that has always been a common theme, even since season one. I mean, the very first scene when the series starts deals with the White Walkers, and you get a glimpse of what we're going to see. So every season, they're hyping up this sense of doom, ultimately, where they're gonna fight this most epic battle against the White Walkers because they're fighting the dead.
Well, now, maybe it was to show that no matter how much adversity people have with each other, they can come together to save themselves.
Like, no, which I get that part of it, where they're all uniting as one because they're fighting a force that is so powerful that not even the strongest armies can.
They're fighting
them.
Death.
Right, they're fighting death. I get that, but my whole thing is the way the Night King died. Okay, sure, I shouted because, you know, Arya stabbing him was awesome, but at the same time, it was bullshit because this is the fucking Night King. Like, how did he not detect Arya somehow infiltrating that entire... She got past his army and she got past his
general. No, that was her training that she went through. See, in that sense, what I think was... Okay, what I liked about that was that they finally... You know, every character had some kind of build-up to get to where they were. And Arya went through all that training, all that physical, mental, just emotional turmoil that she went when she was with the no name or the no face or whatever, right? And she went through all that torture, so to speak. And it was finally like, this is what, you know, we saw a bit of it with Walder Frey when she slit his throat, but yeah. it was kind of like, this was her destiny. This is what she fulfilled her destiny. This was her destiny. This is what she was supposed to do. That's why she went through all that.
No, I don't. I get, like I said, I understand that story arc. And Arya was the right person. Or, you know, in hindsight, yeah, of course, she was the right person to kill the Night King. But I just felt like the way it was executed, it just left much to be desired. And it was sort of like a, that's it kind of moment, you know?
Well, yeah, no, exactly.
Could have been like, no, the episode itself on a technical, on a pure technical cinematic level was awesome, despite the fact that it was dimly lit and it was hard to see certain scenes. That whole thing it was a technical marvel, and it lived up to the hype as far as it being an epic battle. But I felt like it kind of ended on a rushed note, and it was like, okay, the White Walkers are defeated, like that, like that's it, you know? There should have been a bigger payoff to that specific moment. And I feel like once Arya decimated the Night King and all the White Walkers were wiped out, that was like the end of the series, because everything after that was just... It was almost as if it didn't even matter anymore.
No, because it went back to the original theme, which is the Game of Thrones, which is the game of power, which was the game between the people. What I think they did was they rushed the ending of the whole Night King thing, and they rushed completing, like, Arya's fate. And with the end of the Night King, it sealed a lot of people's fate, because it showed Jorah dying. So that's another reason that, you know, Danny starts going a little mad. It shows Cersei betraying them. Another reason Danny kind of goes mad.
Yeah.
What it did was it rushed it, because it didn't... You... the episode itself was well made, I think. And
Oh, absolutely.
Arya, you kind of forget about her, and she was like the element of surprise, and she comes out of nowhere and does it. But right after the Night King died, there should have been at least another episode, a whole episode dedicated to what happened afterwards. Not just a 5-minute burial ceremony and then off to war with Cersei. No, it should have
Right.
been
That
a
was
whole.
another big issue that I took up with because the following episode, only half the episode is dedicated to the aftermath of what's supposed to be the biggest battle in the history of Westeros.
Yeah, it should
You
have been a
know?
whole episode
It should have
dedicated
been
to
a
the
whole
aftermath.
episode. And
Because there was so much.
in retrospect, that episode where they fought the White Walkers should have been the season finale of season 7 2 years ago. And
I
then
agree.
this final season should have picked up on the aftermath and then built towards them fighting Cersei in King's Landing.
Yeah,
That
and
to
like
me
show the
would have
level of
been more effective. That would have been more effective storytelling.
Yeah, because he would have shown the level of betrayal of Cersei's not sending her troop. It would have shown Cersei's trying to find a father for her baby and going through all that. It would have shown Jaime changing and eventually us realizing that he didn't really change. He's the same person he always was. It was just, I don't know what that. Oh, hold on. Let me go back to that because that's a whole nother right issue. It would have explained Danny slowly going mad. You could have they could have given us so much more to understand how Daenerys can go from last season being the one who wants to save the whole world to being the ruler that just wants to burn it all down because she lost some people.
Right.
I never saw her weak-minded that way. Why would Jon Snow be the man who stood up for his principles, who goes through all this, who goes to the wall, who fights for the wildlings, who dies, who bends the knee to Danny and all this just so he can turn around and at the end not stick up for anybody?
Yeah, and he ended up killing her
Just
anyway.
he ended up killing anyway, but he everything got burned down. He Varys stuck up more than he did, and Varys literally quite literally had no balls.
Right.
Okay.
Varys, when it was all said and done, had more of a set of testicles than Jon Snow did.
Exactly. It was kind of like, they put these characters for 7 seasons through the ringer. They build these characters up so much, and then I don't know if the screen writers or if the directors or even if the actors themselves completely forgot the 7 seasons before, because everything was new. The way they acted, the way they portrayed the characters, the way the characters were written, it was almost like those 7 seasons meant nothing. Those
Right, like
seven
they meant nothing.
character development of trials and tribulations you put these people through, the anxiety, the angst, the way the money I spent on HBO meant nothing. All that time, okay? It just didn't exist.
Well,
And it was
HBO
like,
didn't get one penny out of me, apart from this final season. They didn't get one penny out of me since 2011.
well, it's
Now, I know what
continue.
you mean. I know what you mean, generally speaking.
And then they give us this, and I'm going to touch on this, but they give us this bullshit documentary on Sunday that basically
Hey,
was
no,
like,
I liked it that well. I only watched half of it, but I liked what I
no,
saw. I mean, I'm a sucker for those kinds of things anyway.
I liked little portions of it, but for the most part, it was basically a documentary that said, look at everything we went through to give you this season. Be happy with it. No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with it because I would have rathered have just the actors on a damn stage talking to each other than have those epic battle scenes. I didn't need cinematic quality TV. I needed good TV. I was watching for characters. I was watching because Tyrion was a cunning little imp. I was watching because there was incest. I was watching because there was betrayal and And
oh, that's
and
that's
they
good
were
to know that the incest part is interesting for you. That's good
yeah,
to know.
what I mean is, you know, it was interesting because it was never a show before that I've seen in modern TV where there were twins banging each other, you know, and
Oh,
had
yeah, of
children.
course.
And you know what I mean? It was just there was so much more to the show than just the battles. And towards the end, even after, I loved Battle of the Bastards, epic battle. But that should have gone down as like the last battle of the damn show, it, unless you wanted to do the Night King battle. But that should have
Yeah.
been the only battle that should. This whole burning down King's Landing and all that, I just think it was over the top and unnecessary. And it took away from what I think I wanted. I don't know if anybody else, but I'm just going to go in my opinion, what I needed from the show.
I didn't have a problem with the burning of King's Landing with Daenerys' dragons. I think the problem was the way it was executed. Again, it was just very rushed, and if there was more of a build up to it, the payoff would have been more satisfying. Like
You
for
mean I
instance,
understood why the hell she burned it all down? I mean, I understand she went mad, but
well,
you know, let's.
no. If they had planted the seeds a little more explicitly, rather than just hinting at it for two episodes and then she goes mad, you know what I mean? Like if they had been planting those seeds since like season five. And then, you know, you get that slow build, and then you hit the crescendo, and then she goes crazy and burns the whole city down. That would have been a lot more effective.
So they apparently, and by I was, I don't remember what I was watching. I think it was like maybe BuzzFeed or something, where they broke down like Dany's reactions to when people die. So I think her first reaction to a death that was kind of, that didn't make sense in the normal way that a person would react was when her brother died. And they poured the molten gold over his head. And
Yeah.
her line was, well, he was no dragon. And she was very stoic and she had no emotion. But then
Well,
again,
she's
you
always been
have
like that.
no, but then again, you have to look, okay, so this was the man that raped, this was her brother who raped her, abused her, molested her, you know, physically, mentally abused her, and then sold her into slavery. I would be the same way, very stoic to when he dies.
Right.
And then Khal Drogo dies, and you know, you see her break down emotionally, mentally, this, that, and the other. But then you see her burning. Who was the next person that died in her wake? Oh, when she killed the slavers.
Yeah.
And you know, she did the Dracarys for the first time. It was kind of like, she was very like, this is what I need to do. Very, so they try to explain it that this whole time that she has a very odd reaction to death, or at least gruesome deaths or nasty deaths, and they try to play it off. And by they, I mean the people, I don't know who, I can't remember who exactly did the whole documentary. I can't, you know, they try to play it off that it's been coming, it's been showing. I don't see it. I don't
I
see them.
nah, yeah, it's I think that's too far-fetched because those instances that you just described are way too spread apart. Like you're talking about things that happened during the first season and then another instance that didn't happen until two or three seasons after that. It's just
Yeah,
there
but
it's
was
not,
she
it wasn't
always
that
crazy then?
consistent.
But then was she over always crazy?
She might have been, but they never conveyed to the audience that she was that batshit crazy, you know, because again, all of those little instances of her experiencing death, those were done in almost in isolation. Like it's
But
not
did
like it
she
was
go
done so
batshit crazy
frequently to get
because
that.
she lost? But did she go batshit crazy because she lost so much within a short amount of time? She lost Viserion, then she lost Rhaegal, then she lost Missandei, then she lost Jorah, then she lost Missandei. Did she go like that because she lost so much in a short amount of time? And because when they were celebrating the fact that they won, she was sitting all alone with her Starbucks cup?
Well, when the dragon Rhaegal, was that the other dragon? The one that
Yeah.
got shot out of the sky? That's another example of how anticlimactic everything was because like, hello, this is one of the dragons. of the series. It, like,
yeah,
it was just
and
done so unceremoniously. Like, the arrow just came out of nowhere, and I'm like, wait, that's it? Like, it was just done so unceremoniously that it didn't feel deserved. So that's why there was no emotional impact to it.
Yeah, and, like, I don't understand. How is it that Drogon, in the next episode, can attack them right away, but they shoot a fucking arrow into his quote-unquote brother, and he does shit but fly around?
Yeah, I know. I don't get
like,
it.
Why did fire not come out of your mouth and blow away the Ewan McGregor look-alike? Like, I don't understand. What's his name? Euron Greyjoy. Oh,
yeah,
Ewan
yeah,
McGregor.
The Ewan
Greyjoy.
McGregor. Yeah, Euron Greyjoy.
Why couldn't they just... I don't understand. What was the hesitation? Like, oh my god, he got shot by an arrow. I'm going to start shooting out fire. What stopped him? Because I didn't see any reason to stop. They never once aimed for Drogon. They were just aiming for Rhaegal. They threw like 7 arrows into him. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I think it was like 4. But they threw like 3 or 4 of those damn arrows into him. What were you doing? Staring? Like,
no,
oh
you're
no,
right.
He's going to stop.
Yeah, you're
but then
right.
The next
And
time you come out of nowhere and you blow everything. What happened? Did you get power ups? Did you eat some fucking Super Mario mushrooms in between the two episodes?
That's exactly what I was just gonna say. Like, yeah, the dragon must have had a power up mushroom, and then all of a sudden, just is able to dodge arrows just like nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? How? What? You trained or something? Like, how the fuck? What? I don't get it. I don't get the just clear and distinct differences between the two episodes in the way that she reacted or that the dragons reacted.
Well, everything that you're saying encapsulates the frustration of the fans. That's what fans have been bitching about for the past week and a half. Like, they're still dissecting it. And you know what? This is something that's going to be dissected, interpreted, and discussed for a long time. Because now... we don't have any more new episodes to look forward to. Now we have to go back and watch 8 seasons and try to come up with our own fan theories and our own speculation as to what happened during that final season, or at least the first or the final 3 episodes. Because when I'm replaying this entire series in my mind, it's going to be so frustrating when I eventually do revisit it, because I'm going to just think in my mind, like, oh my God, this is happening, but I know how this character ends up, and I know what Jon Snow is going to do towards the end, and I know how I know what Bran's purpose is, and it's just going to be even more frustrating, in my opinion.
But you know what? I think I need to watch it, so that way maybe now knowing the end, I can maybe catch some character arc or some development or some, like, tidbit, you know, some Easter egg that I missed before that they might have dropped. Or maybe something may make sense that didn't make sense before.
Yeah, I think Bran's Three-Eyed Raven storyline would make a lot more sense if I went back and watched it.
I think Bran's Three-Eyed Raven story should have never occurred. If they were going to make him king, they should have never made him the Three-Eyed Raven. I don't understand that. What is he the Three-Eyed Raven for?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't get it.
For him was locked in a fucking cave in a tree. This
right.
One's going to be flying around in the eyes of a dragon. While Tyrion is the de facto king the whole time. So basically, a Lannister ended up on the throne anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think about it. It's just, yeah, it's very, very frustrating. Like, and you can definitely hear the passion in our voices. But we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears a bit, and on a brighter note, we're going to talk about some of our favorite moments from the entire series as a whole. So when we come back, that's what we're going to be discussing. All right, we're back. Now, before we get into our favorite moments from the series, I wanted to reflect a little bit on the documentary that aired this past Sunday called The Last Watch. I didn't get to watch the entire thing. I watched the first half of it. And I'm a sucker for behind-the-scenes featurettes, behind-the-scenes documentaries and stuff. Like, I buy or at least I used to buy the movies more frequently for that purpose, like not just for the film itself, but for all of the behind the scenes stuff, because I love to see how, I just love engaging with the filmmaking process. And I thought it was really impressive the way they showcased the just the caliber and the massive scale of this show. I mean, what really stood out to me was the fact that they put in as much work, the production crew that is, they put in as much work in one episode that it takes for an entire feature film. Isn't that something? That is fucking crazy. Now imagine doing that for 10 episodes in one season.
Listen, I thought it was absolutely epic that they had to recreate King's Landing in a parking lot in Belfast.
My gosh, my jaw dropped when I saw that, because remember they were walking through the town and they were like, yeah, there's no way we're not going to be able to shoot on location.
Yeah.
And it took them 7 months to build that set.
And I thought it was amazing that they filmed 14 weeks at night. Like, you got to give it to them. It's fucking cold. You can't see shit. God bless those actors and the production crew and everybody who was there. Like, it took, you can tell it was like all hands on deck. Especially, you know.
That's definitely a team effort kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't take away from their hard work and just sheer like magic that they, because they took a vision that they all had in their heads, you know, and they sacrificed, and they had like the special arts, the special effects. It was a husband and wife team. They were away from their daughter for a long time. You know, there was a lot of sacrifice that all these people did to be on these locations. I don't take it away from them. It's fucking, and then, you know, you get the little tidbits of watching the table read of Kit, you know, Jon Snow finding out that he actually kills Daenerys, and you see him getting visibly emotional.
I was just gonna bring that up next too. The table read was just incredible to watch, because these actors, yes, they're portraying characters, but this is their livelihood. They've invested their life, their blood, sweat, and tears into these characters for X amount of years. And to see their reaction to the script being read in front of them for the first time, they're all like celebrating or in shock at certain moments. And Kit Harington is like literally crying. And it's just like, wow, it's crazy.
And I think his name's Conley Hill. I think that's his name. The guy, the actor who plays Varys.
Yeah, he was pissed.
I can be stand to be corrected. Yeah, he was. He threw his script. He was like, "Fuck this shit! Like, you're killing me." He was pissed. He threw his script. Like,
right.
To see something like that, it's like, oh wow, you know, it gives me a bit of pause to criticize them so much, because to see how invested they are in these characters and how they had actual feelings towards them as much as I did, it's kind of nice to see. But you know, it doesn't stop me too much from criticizing. Just gives me a bit of a pause.
No, it gives me a little more empathy is what it does for the actors, you know, because I get it. They're portraying characters and they didn't write the script, so you know, they have no creative control in that sense. But yeah, like you said, just a tad bit. It's not an overall redeeming quality, you know, and it's not going to cancel out the shitty season that was season 8. It sheds a nice positive light when especially when you get to see them out of character.
Let's just say it on a positive note, since we're trying to do positivity this segment. On a positive note, at least the shittiest season we could say was season 8.
Yeah,
the other 7 seasons all had its shining moments. It all kept me engaged. It all kept me wanting to come back for more. There was never a time that said, I don't want to see this shit anymore. Until season 8, episode 5, that I was just like, I'm done with this shit. And I watched episode 6 just because I had to. But by episode 5, I was done.
Yeah, me too. I felt the same way. At the end of episode 5, I was like, yeah, no. Yeah, this is not gonna this is not going to bode well for the ending of this series. Absolutely not.
Yeah, because all I was thinking by the end of episode 5 was, oh my God, so much has happened. How are they going to end this all in episode 6? Like, how do you physically do that? And then I learned, it's just forget everything that happened in the other 7 seasons and forget all the characters. We're just going to write whatever we want. And, you know, so now I get how you got it, you know?
Yeah, basically. So, but some of my favorite moments, let's see, season one. Okay, I'll just put this out there. I've only gone back and watched a couple of episodes of this series throughout the years more than once, but for the most part, I've only seen each season when it aired. So my memory is like a little vague, but I remember the most epic moments. So like season one, the one that stands out to me the most is Ned's beheading, just because I was shocked beyond disbelief. First of all, I was led to believe that Sean Bean, who plays Ned Stark, was going to be the main character. I had no knowledge of the books. I didn't read any of the books. So I was led to believe that he was going to be a main character. He gets beheaded in the pen.
I hadn't read the books when I watched season one, so I didn't know what to expect.
Right, so when he gets beheaded, and not even in the finale, he gets beheaded in the penultimate episode. I was like, oh hell no! Like this is definitely going to be a series that's not afraid to kill off characters. Like that is, man. But and what I liked about that moment too was, as sad as it was and as gruesome as it was, you could tell, yes, it was done for shock value, but the payoff matched the storytelling that was building towards it. You know what I mean? It's not like it just came out of the blue. Like they spent practically an entire season building towards the execution of Ned Stark. So that's why I appreciate about that. Season two. Season two, my favorite episode is still one of my favorite episodes of the entire show, was the Battle of Blackwater. Where Tyrion gets his face slashed.
That
gave me like all sorts of Lord of the Rings, Two Towers kinds of feels. Because that's the first thing that I thought of. Yeah, like it was just, that was the first epic battle that Game of Thrones had. And that's why it stands out to me so much. Season three, I don't even think I have to go into it, but Red Wedding, of course. Red Wedding is still the most shocking shit I've seen in any television show. When Homeboy just comes out of nowhere with the knife and just starts stabbing Robb Stark, I said, "What the fuck is going on? Stop it! Yeah. What are you doing?"
We need to kill like, everyone.
I'm like, "What the fuck is happening here? Like, they just completely killed the Stark family." Oh my God. Season four had some pretty good moments. Joffrey was the most satisfying. Joffrey's death. And that came at episode 4. That wasn't even like towards the end or anything. But that was satisfying. Season 5. Holy shit. Season 5 is generally regarded as one of the weaker seasons, but it has two really, really good standout moments, which is Hardhome, which is the episode where Jon Snow first faces the White Walkers. That is by far one of the top 5 Game of Thrones episodes in the entire show. Like, many people would say that, because that's what the episode where he finally figures out that Valyrian steel can kill the White Walkers with just like one swipe of the sword. Hardhome was just fucking excellent. Like I can watch that episode over and over and never get tired of it. Then later on in that season, the season finale, Mother's Mercy, where Cersei is taking the walk of shame. Powerful scene. Really, really powerful scene. And that shit's iconic. Yeah, that shit's iconic because like that's what people would say to somebody who did something wrong now. Like it's referenced in pop culture all the time.
Yeah, shame. Exactly.
Shame. Season 6 was a very, very strong season. I think that was actually the last excellent season. Because again, there were a lot of good seeds being planted for the final 2 seasons.
regardless of what the final two seasons did. But there were a lot of good seasons planted, and you had Battle of the Bastards. Battle of the Bastards was just epic.
Just epic. I don't think I could ever get that scene of Rickon running and him telling him, you know, if you get to your brother, you're going to live. And just Rickon running towards him and then that arrow coming out of nowhere and getting him in the... Oh, my God. To this day, I think about it, I start tearing up.
What a fucking bastard, I guess, right?
Listen, but he got his due. He
got his due. Yeah. That's why, yeah, that entire episode is great. But also in season 6, we get the revelation of why Hodor always says Hodor. The Hold the Door, that was just an excellent episode. Like, what a reveal. Nobody would have ever thought of that.
See, Bran dies in that episode. I think everybody needs to understand in that season, Brandon Stark dies. He is no longer alive. He is now some mythical three-eyed raven who is in a body of a human being, because that's the way he needs to be housed. So basically...
Yeah, basically the body is the avatar for the three-eyed raven.
Yes, exactly. Or I was going to actually compare it to like a horseshoe crab, because that is the body and inside is the crab. Okay?
Right.
Okay. I'll shut up now.
No, I'll let you have your piece. You're
forgetting the epic mountain battle that happened back in season 4 with the Prince of Dorne.
Oh, yes. Oh, shit, I totally forgot about the way he, like, gouges his whole fucking face.
You know,
yeah, that was pretty damn awesome.
You know, when Myrcella dying, when they killed Myrcella with the poison.
That was that season 4?
That's season 5, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think that was 4. I think that was like a little later on.
That's 5. Yeah, that's 5 or 6. When,
yeah,
you know,
Jamie's
going to get his daughter. How can we forget the burning of Marjorie and whatnot in the Citadel with the fire?
Oh, with Stannis?
Not Stannis. Cersei, that she burned Marjorie and
Cersei. Oh, yes.
And then
her
son commits suicide. Like, there were so many great...
That was season 6. That's what I'm saying. Season 6 was a great... Yeah, I forgot about that with Cersei blowing up the whole fucking town.
Yeah. Season 1, we get Sansa betraying her family for the first time out of many, but we get her betraying her family for the first time and leaving to go live in King's Landing with Cersei and Joffrey. You know, we get Joffrey, what's this? I think this is now season 3. Yeah. We see Joffrey pin up the whore in like a star shape and like the Retruvian man with the arrows. And we see it for the first time how fucking sick he is. There was so many things. You know, how do you forget?
There's a lot of great moments. And honestly, one of the forgotten characters who was actually one of my favorite characters was Stannis Baratheon. I mean,
I love Stannis Baratheon.
He was a piece of shit for burning. Who did he burn? Was it his daughter? Yeah, it was his daughter, right?
Yeah.
He was a piece of shit for that. After that, I was like, I can't get on board with this guy. But prior to that, I loved Stannis. And I love Melisandre too.
Yeah, but you have to give Stannis his due. He did it for what he believed in, which is what Jon fucking Snow should have done all the way to season 8. This man believed in the God of Light and he burned his daughter down. Jon Snow believed in everything and then gave it up for some white pussy. I'm sorry. Yeah. You gave up everything.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Believe it. I can't.
I know, man. If I were to reflect on season 6, because season 7, that was of course a short season. My favorite episode was the one where they fought the White Walkers beyond the wall. That was awesome. Where they finally turned the dragon into.
That was great. Yeah, when they killed Viserion. Yeah, Viserion. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and then honestly, as much as we griped about season 8, I would say that third episode where they fought the White Walkers, that is one of my favorite episodes. It really is. just because of the sheer epic feel to it. Not because of like storytelling or anything.
I liked the episode before where they were all sitting around and talking and that was great, you know, too. You know, when they have the song sort of like Lord of the, they gave me the Lord of the Ring feeling again.
Yeah.
You have the song right before the epic battle and, you know, everybody's getting along and they knight Brienne, you know, and you get these little, you get these emotional little moments. That was the last emotional episode where I
felt something. Yeah,
you're totally right.
That was actually, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, episode two of that final season was really Leia. That was the last time I had an emotional connection to any of these characters.
Exactly. So I was like, I'm thinking the next episode, everyone except for Jon Snow and Arya are going to die.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting here going, they're all going to die. And I'm going to have to, episode four, I'm going to be crying my eyes out because they're going to be burying all of them.
That didn't happen. I didn't shed one tear.
And episode three happens, and then, you know, you get Arya killing the Night King, and you get, no, you know what? I'm lying, because I had, when Theon dies, I had an emotional feeling.
I felt bad for Theon, but it wasn't emotional to the point where I was going to, it was going to leave a lump in my throat.
I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I felt like it was long overdue, like. Not to say that I wanted Theon to die, but if there was a character that should have died like two seasons prior, it should have been Theon.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Bran should have died back in season one when he was thrown out the fucking tower.
I guess. Man, why do people hate Bran?
Because he's useless. He's useless and he became king. He is a completely useless figure.
Yeah, I guess, man.
He went through the wilderness. No, let's be honest. Okay, so let's touch that, right? So he becomes paralyzed. He doesn't say anything. He lays in a bed, becomes a sullen, just annoying little boy, ends up in a wheelchair. All this stuff happens to his family. He ends up in the middle of nowhere with Hodor. He finds what were the two kids' names?
Yeah, you got me on that one.
He finds the wildings and the two kids, right? And they go through all this. You find out that those two kids are the descendant of the only other person that knows that Jon Snow is actually Aegon Targaryen, because their father was the one that was with Ned Stark.
Yeah.
In that tower. So you find out this, and you see all the connections and everything. Then you find out, oh my god, this is why Hodor only says Hodor, because he's saying hold the door. And you see all this and everything, but what was the use of Bran in all of this? Except for everyone to push him around, for him to die and become the Three-Eyed Raven, and then what? What did he do with that? He has all this power, and he just sits by a damn tree and says, thank you, Theon, and knows what's going to happen? Like, I don't understand. He used his knowledge for what? Oh, okay, he let Jon Snow know he was a Targaryen. Great. Then what?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He let him know that he was a Targaryen, and he obviously knew that he was going to be king eventually, so that's why he kept his mouth shut.
But you have all this knowledge, and I understand you. Knowledge is power, right? And in the wrong hands, it could be used, you know, for wrong. I don't know how else to say that, but regardless of that, used wrongfully. Yeah, exactly. But regardless of that, what was his purpose? I don't see it. If I look at this, all eight series in culmination, and I look at Bran as a whole, as a character, what was the purpose of that character? For what? To, at the end, become king? Then why did you put him through all this? Why did you give him this role? Why did you make him fantastical? Why did you make him the Three-Eyed Raven? Why was he able to warg? Like, there's so many whys in that one character that I can sit here for hours just asking why. I like a 3-year-old. And I don't think anybody could ever answer those questions because the show most definitely did not.
No, yeah, the series, and they already exceeded the books, so
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those questions aren't going to be answered.
They never will be answered. But to me, they're legitimate questions.
They are.
Why do all this?
You know that's a good segue into our final segment when we start giving predictions, possible predictions and expectations of what the prequel series has in store for us. So we'll be right back after these messages. Okay, we are back after those messages, ladies and gentlemen. I always wanted to say that, get that out of my system, like a Saturday morning cartoon. Meanwhile, it's just me promoting Anchor.
Dun, 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 the more you know.
Right? So, for our final segment, well, we can rank Game of Thrones, so to speak. So, despite season 8 not being the culmination that all the fans wanted, how would you still rank Game of Thrones overall? Would you still rank it as your number one favorite TV show of all time? Is it in your top 5, top 10?
It's in my top 10.
Yeah. I could see that. I would
at one point, until season 8, it was in my top 5. After season 8, it's in my top 10.
Yeah, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You basically took the words out of my mouth. After prior to the final season, yeah, I would say it was in my top 5 of all time. But yeah, it kind of went down a notch. But yeah, if I had to really make a list of my top 10 favorite shows, Game of Thrones is definitely on there. Because Game of Thrones, I think this is going to probably, I can't predict the future, but this is probably going to be the last television show that ignites water cooler talk and gets people together for a live airing of it. Or not, well, it's not live TV, but you know what I mean? Like, as it's airing in real time. Because let's face it, in 2019, very few people are watching television as it airs. You know what I mean? That's just not. Yeah. It's not a thing anymore. It's not a thing anymore.
No.
Like, go to work the next day or you don't go to school the next day saying, oh, man, did you see that episode of this such and such last night? Or did you see last week's episode of this, that, and the third? No, that's kind of a thing of the past because people binge watch. So I think Game of
Thrones. Yeah, now it's like you watch the season 2 of this show on Netflix.
Right,
the whole
right.
season.
So Game of Thrones is what it is really emblematic of an era that's over. You know, that era of water cooler television talk is pretty much over, unless there's another series that comes even remotely close to the popularity of Game of Thrones. I don't think we'll ever see something like that again.
We have the prequel, and like I told a coworker, I'm gonna watch it. Because I'm already invested in the whole Game of Thrones mentality. I'm going to watch the prequel. I'm not going to
say
I'm not.
Yeah, so is everybody else. Everybody else needs a Game of Thrones fix. Of course they're going to fucking watch the prequel.
But I'm going to try. And I say try because I'm a fanatic and I sometimes I can lose myself. But I'm going to try not to have such high expectations. I'm going to try not to get so invested. I'm going to try just to watch it purely for entertainment.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit here and think of, because with Game of Thrones, like, I sat there and I thought of everybody had, like, fan fiction, you had predictions, you had theories, you had, everybody saw different Easter eggs, everybody saw different writings on the wall. It was an epidemic between everybody and anybody who watched Game of Thrones. You had theories and predictions up the wazoo. I am going to attempt not to do that with this prequel.
I gotta tell you, that's easier said than done. And the reason why I say
I know,
that
that's
is because
why
people,
I am attempting.
People are going to treat this prequel show as the missing pieces of a larger puzzle. So they're gonna try to piece together everything that ties into Game of Thrones. And that's not just for Game of Thrones. Like, anytime you get a prequel of anything, whether it's a movie or a TV series, you're always going to be trying to connect that certain moment and try to figure out how that leads into the present or, you know, the future of whatever iteration of the series it is. So I think that's just inevitable. There's going to be tons of fan theories like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's why Bran did this, or maybe that's why Jon Snow did that. I think that's inevitable.
Like thousands of years before these people even existed. So the only connection be is the Night King. And maybe the Targaryen. It's not going to be Dany's bloodline. No. It's going to be like her cousin's bloodline.
Of course, because eventually
she becomes her mother. But it's not going to be. So the connection's going to be. If anybody tries to make a connection, it's going to be very fanciful because there's no way to make a direct connection as to why this person's like that or why this happened. Because there's no timeline that, you know, coincides with it at all. It's not going to be a flush timeline.
Which is why if the creators and the showrunners, if they're smart, they won't cater to the Game of Thrones fan base directly. They'll focus on pure storytelling and worrying about coming up with a successful prequel series for a couple of seasons without having to have it inevitably connect to Game of Thrones. I don't want to see something like that. I want to see something that stands on its own. Yes, you can have Easter eggs, and yes, you can make references and whatnot, but, you know, I just want to see something presented in a little more of an original fashion.
Well, like, they would have to because there's no books based on this. See, I think a problem with the Game of Thrones with the last two seasons that we haven't touched on, and if you don't mind, I'm going to try to touch it real quick, that the beginning episode series were based on these books. And these books are chock full of just pure excitement and pure ecstasy on pages. And just amazing storytelling. Okay, you cannot take it away from George Martin. He is an amazing storyteller. His books were amazing completely. And then they went from having these amazing things to reference, these amazing books to reference and to use as backdrops and to use as a go-to, let's say, like a dictionary.
Yeah.
In order to write their perfect essay. They went from having that to not having anything. And it just shows you how amazing George Martin is as a writer, that they were able to take all that and suck it out and make these amazing screenplays. But when they had nothing, these screenwriters had nothing, were not as great as we thought they were.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point.
Because
that's a really
now they
point.
Had nothing to reference or use. So when it comes, so that's another reason why I'm a little apprehensive about this prequel, is because if it's the same screenwriters or if it's the same group of people doing it, they didn't show me much in the last two seasons with them being on their own without having the books as a reference.
No, that's a really valid point. And when did they stop with the following the trajectory of the books? Was it after season five or after season six?
Mid season six.
Oh, okay.
But since they already had a background for season six, I think it was able to finish strong. Season seven was still playing off of season six, so maybe they still. But season eight was 100% completely made up.
Yeah.
By the writers.
You could tell. Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. 100% completely made up by the writers. And I don't know why, but they failed miserably at keeping that momentum going.
Yeah, they really did.
So I don't know if it's the same screenwriters for this prequel. I hope they learn something, or maybe it'll be easier because they'll have their own ideas that they can play off of and not somebody else's ideas. I don't know. I don't know if it was an obstacle or if it was a plus having the books. You know, I see it as a plus because there's no way you have seven amazing seasons. Okay, six amazing seasons. One, not so amazing, but still, you know, great. And then you have the last season that's completely like an utterly
right. I think the only thing that season seven suffered from was that it was too short, but I generally liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, okay, I agree. It was a little too short. I think it, again, they rushed it too much with the last, like, say, two episodes. I would have, and I think that's all they really suffered from was the lack of content in that last season.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, when I can't wait to whenever it happens, but I can't wait to actually go back and revisit the entire series as a whole.
I do. I
Yeah,
want to
because
do that.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that went over my head as I was watching it throughout the years. Because I was watching it at different times during the day. Like I wouldn't always catch the episode as it's airing on a Sunday night. Sometimes I would watch an episode on the train going to work or bed, and
Yeah, especially.
you tend to miss things.
Yeah. And also, you have to realize when I started watching the show, I was 22. So my view of the world and the way I understood things is very different from the way I view things and understand things now.
You were not 22. I just processed that. You were not 22 because I was 22 when I started
So then I
watching
was 23.
it. Yeah, I mean, I was 22 going on 23. So you were a little
No, well,
older
yeah.
already.
Maybe I was okay at 24 then, whatever. No,
Yeah, because
then 12.
it was 2011.
I don't even know how old I was back then, but okay, whatever. I was in my early 20s, okay? The way you view things and you understand things is very different in your 20s than you are when you're in your 30s, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure there were things that went over my head. I'm sure there were things that I didn't understand. I'm sure there were things that I didn't string together that I would now.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's
You know?
why I don't even want to go back and revisit it like now, like anytime soon, because I'm still trying to process the final season. I think I'm
Oh no,
gonna
I need
give
to
it
get over
like
that. Yeah, I
I
need a
know I
break.
I think I No, I think I'm gonna give it like about 6 to 12 months and then just clear my mind a little bit and then go back and revisit it as if it was like, oh, it's brand new. I'm
Well, I think I'm going to do
going
that
back to
next summer.
Winterfell.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that probably like next summer because this summer I'm going to dedicate to binging Handmaidens, which I've never watched. So I think I'm
It's
going to
The
binge
Handmaid's Tale, damn it. Don't butcher the
whatever.
name.
The Handmaid's Tale.
The Handmaiden.
Whatever it's called. I'm going to binge watch that this summer. So I'm probably not going to revisit, Game of Thrones this year.
Nah, there's too much shit I got to watch because Stranger Things comes back on in July.
That's another thing, yeah. So,
Yeah, like you said, The Handmaid's Tale season 3 is on. Glow is coming back too. I gotta watch that. So
and
there's a
then
couple of really good ones.
starting in November, I'm going to be broke because I have to subscribe to Disney Plus, which we need to talk about. We got to divide who's subscribing to what because we can't each all keep paying for our own
Yeah, I
subscription.
know, right? This is beginning to be it's gonna become very costly in the family.
So let's talk about that offline. But yeah, so and then they're gonna have a whole new bunch of shows on Disney Plus. So it's like I have to, and in between I want to live a life,
Yeah, I know. There's just too much shit to watch these days. Just too much, man. Too
yeah,
much.
it really
It's just
that's what
it
happened.
literally is impossible to sit there and watch everything out there unless you're unemployed, you know?
Well, because this is probably a whole nother segment, but this generation and this new age, it's quantity over quality.
Yeah.
You get very few.
That's what Netflix stresses, and that's why Netflix, if you want to watch an original movie or original series on Netflix, you're taking a gamble. It could be hit or miss because there's so much content on there.
Yeah. Do you remember the
Now,
days when
here's the thing, HBO is competing with Netflix because they already got rid of their boxing, so they allocated their budget towards coming up with more original series. The reason why HBO is different because HBO has always been about the quality. If you really think about it, HBO never okay, rarely puts out garbage. Like, really think about it. HBO doesn't really put out mediocre material.
Yeah, I've never seen anything on HBO that is that I wouldn't. I want to say my first series on HBO was obviously Sopranos. I think that was pretty much everybody's first series.
No, my first series was Entourage, actually.
I was going to say Entourage, but I can't remember if I watched Entourage before or after The Sopranos. I can't remember. Or maybe I watched them side by side because I didn't watch Sopranos when everybody else was watching it.
I still haven't seen The Sopranos. I that's on my list, too.
So, but I remember what my dad would watch Entourage, and then I got into Entourage, and, you know, it was great. And it was, you know, I had to watch it. And then there was Boardwalk Empire. And
right,
then there
right.
was, Boardwalk Empire. You know.
The Wire is look, The Wire and The Sopranos, when it comes to HBO, like old series, I want to get into The Sopranos and The Wire, like The Wire for sure. Like, I really, really want to get into
The Wire. Absolutely. You would love The Wire. It was so good. And I'd like to revisit that now as an older.
As an adult. Right, right.
I was going to say as an older, but I was a teenager when I watched that. I didn't, you know, I didn't understand.
Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah, now if you go back and watch The Wire, because that was like mid-2000s, like, that's just going to make so much more sense now.
Exactly.
Now that you've experienced life, or you're experiencing life as an adult, you know?
Yeah, so I'd like to revisit that again. And even The Sopranos, I'd like to revisit again. Because I remember watching it. I don't know if I've watched it in its entirety. I know I watched bits and pieces. And I have a full general, you know, idea of everything. Entourage, I watched from beginning to end. I even watched their horrible movies.
No, man, the Entourage movie was good. I don't know why. I don't know what was wrong with the movie. It was basically three episodes put in one. There was nothing wrong with it. I mean, what were people expecting?
I guess that's true.
Yeah, like, it's no different from the Sex and the City movie. It's just like three fucking episodes to put into one.
No, do not touch Sex and the City. Sex and the City to this day will always be my favorite, one of my favorite, like, that's top five TVs, okay?
Oh, no, I'm not shitting on it, but what I'm saying is the format of the Entourage movie is just basically three or four episodes rolled into one. That's really what it was. So, like, this, I don't know what people were expecting. I think the only problem with the Entourage movie was that it came 4 or 5 years too late. You know what I'm saying?
It was released. Yeah, it was like the hype already kind of.
Yeah, the series ended in 2011, and the film didn't come out to 2015. And at that point, like, you know, not that many people cared about it anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, because too much other shit was out.
I liked it. I mean, I couldn't give up. I love Turtles, so.
Yeah, no, I love Entourage. Entourage is still probably my favorite HBO series. But, you know, I know we're like going way, way off topic, but I just recently got it. Yeah, I know. We're still talking about HBO, so it's all relative. I just recently got into Barry. Barry is really fucking good.
So I want to watch that. I hear it's hilarious and it's like a really good show, but I have Big Little Lies coming up that I have to. Wait,
I'm telling you, get into bed. I'm like five episodes into the first season, and the episodes are quick. They're 30 minutes, but it's of course it's a comedy, but it's really a dramedy because it's fucking dark.
Yeah,
like it's funny, but it's dark. It's so well written, man.
So I mean, yeah, I guess I'll get into that. You know, one day I have to juggle. I have to see how things work.
Yeah, you know what? Forget Netflix. I'm about to just cancel Netflix. Just keep HBO. Seriously.
No, I can't cancel Netflix.
No, I can't. I can't really cancel Netflix because Netflix does have some good stuff, but like HBO just knocks it out the park every time.
Well, yeah, because they can. I don't know why, but maybe HBO is more selective with their content, or maybe because they draw bigger names than Netflix does.
No, I really think it's just, well, yeah, they draw bigger names, but they are more selective with their content. Like, again, they rarely put out trash. Like, you rarely hear somebody saying that, oh, that HBO show sucked. You know, like, no. Like, HBO is, like, the king of
water. Well, that Angels in America show I didn't like too much. I tried watching it.
Yeah, that was a miniseries. I mean, like I said, rarely. I'm not saying that HBO is perfect, but nine times out of ten, you're getting quality with HBO.
Yeah, exactly. And you're gonna
Which
sit
is
there
what
and watch it, you're
separates
right.
it from Netflix. And that's why I think the Watchmen series on HBO is going to be really good too.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
I'm very
I'm excited
excited
for that
for
too. But
that.
that pretty much wraps up our Game of Thrones HBO talk.
Basically, we were so disappointed that we had to start talking about other shows
Yeah, I know. I know. In the past 10 minutes, we've probably name dropped like 10 to 15 different series.
So HBO, we avidly watch your channel. We just
Yeah,
really missed
clearly.
the last season of Game of Thrones.
Clearly. I just want to say thank you to the good folks at HBO and thank you to the showrunners for making Game of Thrones a possible thing. Because Game of Thrones did touch my heart, and I am literally wearing a Tyrion shirt. I drink and I know things, and it was a big hit at work today. So
Oh my
thank
God,
you,
and that
HBO and Game
line
of Thrones.
is iconic now. I drink and I know things, and you know nothing, Jon Snow. Like those two lines are gonna go down
In
in I don't
pop
know,
culture TV lore.
pop culture infamy, you know? Everybody's you know, you're gonna say those lines. It's kind of like Make It So number two. You know, you're gonna say these things, or Luke, I am your father, and everybody's gonna know what you're referring to.
Right. Yeah.
You
Only
know,
the people that don't watch Game of Thrones think it's just like, you know, whatever kind of shirt. Like, oh, you
I
drink
don't
and know
understand
things.
why
Oh.
nobody, listen, I don't understand why people don't watch the show. I hate that whole like, oh, well, I'm not gonna watch it because, you know, everybody else watches it. No, you know what? Everybody else watches it for a reason. Everybody else invested their lives for a reason. Go watch it.
Hey,
I don't want to discourage
some people,
anybody.
first of all, you can't say that because some people are not really into medieval-esque dramas or they're not into extreme violence and nudity.
And these
You know,
people
like
are?
not everybody's gonna be, yes, Game of
Well, I don't know
Thrones.
these people.
No, I know. Look, I like incest and violence and ice zombies and shit like that, but just as much as the next person. And of course, Game of Thrones is the most popular TV drama of all time, but you know, it's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to be into it.
I understand, but I don't want to discourage anybody who wants to watch the show just because all the fans are saying that it was a dismal end. It does not take away from the amazing content that was put out for the last seven seasons. It doesn't take away from the amazing sets that were put together for season eight and all the work that was put in and the acting with the crap they had to do. Their acting was amazing, you
I
know?
know.
So it doesn't take away from any of that.
I don't think so
And you
either.
know, just
I don't
being aware.
think I don't want it's a shame if people, you know, would I guess diminish their appreciation for Game of Thrones just because of the final season. If anything, the final season is just going to be an asterisk.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be a take it or leave it. You after listen, after season eight, episode three, if you don't want to watch anymore, I understand. Because
Right.
it could end there and you could be happy.
It's true. Yeah,
You
that's
know, and
totally true. You could just
you
forget about
will.
Cersei, you can forget about King's Landing, forget about the Ironborn.
If you wanted to, yeah, go right ahead because there's no reason to continue after
Yeah, I know. I
that.
know.
You
We
know?
didn't really talk about it, but even Euron didn't even get a decent payoff.
Exactly. I know he got stabbed. That was just so. And then they give him that one line for comedic relief. Like, why? Hey,
Yeah.
I went down as the man that killed Jaime Lannister. Like, no, you didn't. You went down like the man that killed a dragon. Sure, but that's it.
I didn't get that either. I don't know. Those last three episodes were very wacky.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thanks once again, Nisi, for joining me. This is a very thoughtful and very appreciative conversation on what is sure to be the most, I think it's probably number one in terms of TV viewership, but the most popular television drama of all time in the history of television. Yeah, so the next time you get onto the podcast, we'll probably talk about we'll have a full-fledged discussion of something on HBO.
since it kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, for real. We'll talk about maybe after I get into a season of The Wire or something.
Okay. Something. We'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll dedicate a whole podcast series to just HBO shows.
Faux show. For all the listeners, continue supporting me on Instagram. Let me just say this podcast and stream this and other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, CastBox, Overcast. That's my plug. And with that said, you guys take care and good night.